to once again welcome you all to call. Like I said, my name is Jeff Davis from the California After School Network. Today we have Melissa Garza joining us from the California Department of Education Community Nutrition Program, and we may be joined shortly by Rana Jacobitz from that same program. We're also joined by Deborah Temanayi, who's in the Education Nutrition Policy Unit with the California Department of Education. We have Tim Thole with the Food and Nutrition Services Unit from the USDA, Eric Mankey from the California Association of Food Banks, Crystal Fitzsimons from the Food Research and Action, or Food Research and Action Center, and Matt Sharp from the California Food Policy Advocates. We're going to hear a little bit about the summer food program and different ways that you can connect. We're also going to hear from Richard Lincoln and Candace Sinetto, who work here in Sacramento with the 4th R program as the administrator and director of their summer food programs, about some successful ways to administer the program. But before we get into everything, I just want to turn it over to the California After School Network Executive Director, Andy Press-Dawson, for a moment, just to give you a little background on why we thought this call was important. So, Andy Press-Dawson.
Thanks, Jeff. Hi, everybody, and thank you for joining us. And you are exactly the people we hoped would be on this call. And the history of this is probably 3 weeks ago, Crystal was in Sacramento, and we met for lunch. And I just remember Crystal saying to me she was really concerned that a lot of children are going to be hungry this summer, a lot of it just based upon all the logistics of what's going on with the economy. And I sort of sat with that for a few weeks and said, you know what, can't ignore this. And because the After School Network has really hopefully taken a big leadership role now under Arnell's leadership with our new Nutrition and Physical Activity Committee, I thought, okay, we need to help make sure that kids get fed this summer. And I personally had been involved with the summer food program through the city of Sacramento and saw all the great things that can happen. So we gathered together all the people that we thought could answer your questions with the goal that by the time you get off this call and can refer back to our website, that you will want to be a sponsor or whatever of summer food this summer, and we want to help make that happen for you. So that's our history, and we've got great people here to answer your questions.
So great. Thank you, Andy. With that, I'd love to turn it over to sort of the folks from the USDA and the California Department of Education who can give us a little bit of background on the summer food programs.
Okay. So this is Tim again. I'm going to give you an overview of what would be involved to actually be a site, and then I'm going to turn it over to Melissa, who's going to explain a little bit more about what it would be like to be a sponsor. A site is simply the easiest way to get involved, and I have a big three or big four of what is involved. First of all, in order to be a site, you have to be associated with the sponsor, which they would file your agreement, they'll file the claim, but you have to do three or four main things if you're actually going to have a site. Let's say it's at a park or a community center or wherever it is. You have to serve an eligible child, which means that they are normally, or according to the rules, are between 1 and 18. You have to serve them an eligible meal, which means that the meal meets the pattern requirements of the summer food service program, which means that it has the fruit vegetable requirement, it has, let's say, a sandwich, which is the meat alternate entree, and then a milk. And you have to count that meal correctly at the point of service, which means the child went through the line, you made sure they got the sandwich, the milk, and the fruit vegetable, and then you counted them as one for that meal served that day. So those are the three big things you have to do as a site, but really it's quite simple to be a successful site. The greater difficulty is in the sponsorship side and the administering of it, and so that's why one of the things we're going to encourage you at the end of the call to do today is if you're interested in becoming a site, to send us an email, and we will try to link you up to an existing sponsor in your area that's willing to take on additional sites. So with that said, I'm going to pass it off to Melissa Garza, who's going to tell you a little bit more about what it would be like to be a sponsor of the program.
Okay. To be a sponsor of the program, you have to be either a school, a private nonprofit, some kind of government agency. A private nonprofit is one who may have a 501c3, an Upward Bound, Boys and Girls Club, those types of agencies. And you'd have to maintain program records of your how your sites are operating, what they're serving the kids, and collect all the meal counts and submit a claim for reimbursement after the end of the month. There are some monitoring requirements that the sponsors will have to conduct of each site that is under their sponsorship. And there's several of them that the sponsor will do during the program year. The sponsor is also required to provide training to each of their administrative staff and also to each, at least the site supervisor, before the site would begin operating to make sure that they are well informed and trained to provide meal service and be able to provide the sponsor with all the necessary information to be in compliance and to submit a correct claim for reimbursement. And all the record keeping is done by the sponsor, and you would basically keep the program information, all the documentation, for 3 years after the end of the program year is over. Anyone who's interested in becoming a sponsor can contact us, and I will give that information in a few minutes. But the sponsoring agency, they have to accept final administrative and financial responsibility over all the sites and the meals that will be served. So basically what that means is that you have funds to, let's say the reimbursement you get doesn't cover all the expenses, so the sponsor would be responsible for any of that extra cost that the reimbursement doesn't cover. And they have to be operating on their own, and the Summer Food Service Program is basically to cover the cost of the meal program. And to be a sponsor, all you have to do is contact me or any one of our program specialists. We now have caseloads, and I can provide that information. But you would basically contact one of us, and then we will find the best eligibility criteria for the type of site that you are operating, because we don't want anybody to not be able to participate for something that they may quite easily qualify for. And so once the sponsor gives contacts us, we'll put them on our contact list and send out applications and any kind of program updates and training information, and just keep them in the loop of what's going on until we receive their application and come out and see them.
Excellent. So I've heard that there's two ways that you can get involved with summer food programmings, that you can either become a sponsor, which has certain requirements and you sort of oversee multiple sites, or you can become a site, and that site sort of falls under the umbrella of a sponsor.
Yes.
And then I've also heard that if you would like to become a sponsor, you contact program specialists at the CDE Nutrition Division, and you contact them, and they will send you an application?
Yes, we will put them on our contact list, and then we start sending them out. There are certain times of the year. Some sponsors, they call in because they only want to participate in the summertime. But for after-school snacks, we'll send those out continuously.
And is it too late for this summer to be a summer food sponsor?
It's too late to start in June. As a site, we will try very hard to try to find you a sponsor who may be able to pick you up as a site. but it's a lot to overtake right now with the application, the training, and training your staff, the sponsor staff, and their site. It's kind of difficult to do all that, manage that at this time. Plus, we have a 30-day turnaround time.
Excellent. So it sounds like the best way is to try and become a site in order to provide summer food for this summer. Is that correct, what I'm hearing?
From here on out, we're trying to find sites, sponsorship from some of the sites, agencies that's already contacted us. But at this point, any new interested agencies, we will ask, we will start searching for sponsors to pick them up as a site.
Excellent. And just for the general information of folks on the call, this particular call also has a website, and on that website you can find a link where you can enter in your information, and then that information will be used to try to match you with a sponsor. I'll just share that website with you briefly. It's www.afterschoolnetwork.org, afterschoolnetwork.org/node/7389. That's afterschoolnetwork.org/node/7389. And you can enter in your information there, and we'll attempt to get the information to the appropriate places to get you matched with a sponsor.
I just want everybody to know Rana Jacobitz has joined the call.
Welcome, Rana.
Thank you.
Excellent. So we've sort of got the basics of the summer food program. Before we talk about food bank resources and also the linking process in terms of linking sponsors with sites, did anybody have any questions at this point in time?
Yes, I have a question. I'm Liz. I wanted to know if there is a minimum attendance requirement. I mean, do sites need to meet minimum attendance requirements?
As far as in federal regulations, no. Some sponsors would like to have a minimum to make it financially viable for them as a site. But a lot of sponsors, they operate as small as 10, 15, 20 kids.
This is Tim. One of the things I was going to add, oftentimes when you have a site that has small numbers, it's not viable to actually drive a vehicle out there with the meals. So usually what will happen in that situation, if, for instance, the school district might be the sponsor, because we have several situations right in the town I live, those small sites are then required to find a volunteer to go to the central kitchen where the meals are made and drive them back to that site.
This is Richard Lincoln with the City of Sacramento. I also wanted to add that on occasions when you are contracting with the vendors, they also will set a minimum based on their needs of service, and so sometimes that does impact the ability to serve certain sites.
Great. Thank you. Any other thoughts or questions in terms of the basics of the program? That was a great question, though. Thank you. So at this point in time, I'd like to turn it over to Matt Sharp, who can tell us a little bit about, and he's from the California Food Policy Advocates. He can tell us a little bit about their experience linking sites.
Thanks, Jeff. What is important for everyone to know is there's a number of different ways that meals and snacks can work in your community. We're talking about the summer lunch program today, but I think as we've heard, this will extend throughout the school year because of a unique pilot project in California. So try to think of this as more of a long-term commitment because that will enable you to see that the dividends are going to last more than just a few weeks of this summer and make it worth it to go through the various hurdles, hoops, obstacles, and administrative procedures needed to get something going. It'll last you the next 12 months if you are able to work it out well. The scenarios that we've been part of here in Southern California involve a collaborative in the city of Long Beach, where there's a number of different organizations, churches, parks programs, aquatic camps that are all operating different types of summer enrichment, but all serving food at the same time through meals provided by the city of Long Beach. And it's been advantageous to the city to sponsor all these programs because it increases the number of meals they're able to purchase from their vendor, and it makes it more cost affordable for them to have additional sites as part of their program. Another place where there's a really effective collaborative is in the San Gabriel Valley, where several different school districts have linked together and have picked up some community sites that are operating programs within their school district. And in each of these cases as well, it makes sense to operate the kitchen production facilities only when you're serving a lot of meals. So it's very important for you all to know that while you are humbly asking to be taken up by a sponsor as a site under them, you will bring them important benefits in terms of financial solvency by increasing the economies of scale through serving more meals. Your responsibilities are important to be clear of as well. You'll enter into a memorandum of understanding, a basic MOU that describes what you need to do and what they need to do. And your responsibilities are obvious. You've got to make sure the food is served at the right temperature and at the time that you planned and committed to serve it, and that you treat all the children and teens who come to the program equally, regardless of whether or not they're enrolled in the enrichment program or camp at your facility. And those regulations, or the MOU, also describes how you follow the various regulations of the program, having to do with meal claims, posting the civil rights poster, etc. And the other two important ingredients to know that can be worked out in your memorandum of understanding is the time of the meal service can be changed. For example, if you are best doing meal service after swim class, which ends at 1:30, but all the other sites by this sponsor are serving lunch from 12 to 1, you can serve your lunch at 1:30. It may require an extra bag of ice to keep the meals, the sandwiches perhaps at the right temperature to 1:30. There's a lot of flexibility there. The state is willing to work with you. You need to know that when you approach a sponsor. The second major question that we receive when working with sites that are trying to connect to sponsors is what to do about the actual food itself. There may be preferences that the youngsters have. The staff may be doing nutrition education activities and might want to see some of the actual vegetables that they're talking about show up on the menus. And all those sort of substitutions are entirely allowable and reasonable within the MOU that you can arrange with the sponsoring agency. There are two different distribution models, and they're very obvious, but it's good to explain them out there. One is that you would be visited by a truck on a daily basis, or maybe every other day, depending on your refrigeration capacity, and meals would be dropped off at your site. And the other distribution model is that perhaps there is another site that sponsor is operating nearby, and you would go there and collect meals for the number of youngsters you anticipate at your program and bring them over in the appropriate containers to preserve the right temperature. Hot food's got to stay hot. Cold food's got to stay cold. But those sort of arrangements are often at the discretion of the sponsor. They have an elaborate system cooked up, particularly in Sacramento, Fresno, Los Angeles, where each of the largest sponsors are doing over 100 sites. And they'll probably want you to fit into their system, and it usually involves some reasonable arrangement to either collect the food at a fairly nearby location at the same time, or perhaps you can be added as a site on their trucking route. So in sum, our experience of linking sites to sponsors has been good, not entirely perfect. Absolutely, I must confess, we've not got every sponsor to take on every site that we've urged them to consider. But I think with the right relationships in your community, talking to the right people, either at the school district is often the largest place to do this because they have the capacity with their kitchen staff and familiarity with USDA guidance. You know, there are school superintendents and school board members and a number of others that would be eager to get involved and to try and help work out an arrangement that benefits the broader community, even if it initially appears difficult administratively for the sponsor. You need to involve some other partners to ensure that the decision-making reflects the broader needs of the community, and I am optimistic that you may be able to work something out. We stand ready to help troubleshoot in a handful of places. We really know the people and the sponsors. I've been working on the summer program in California since the mid-90s and have had the opportunity to get to meet a lot of the sponsors, and so I'm glad to try and help with some of those contacts if it is sensible and reasonable. So we'll make sure that Jeff circulates our contact information after the call is over. But I thought with that I would stop.
Excellent. So again, you can go to that website, afterschoolnetwork.org/node/7389, afterschoolnetwork.org/node/7389, and you can basically sign up to be matched with the site. So far what we've heard is that there's a couple ways to be involved. You can be a site or a sponsor. That it might be easiest in terms of this summer to become a site, and we've heard a little bit about linking with school districts and cities. And like to just turn it over to Eric Mankey and talk a little bit about food banks as sponsors of the summer food program, and then maybe get a couple of questions before we move on to an example of a successful program in Sacramento. So take it away, Eric.
Sure. Great. Thank you. Again, this is Eric Mankey with the California Association of Food Banks. First of all, I think the first message from food banks in general is that if you are looking for looking to connect kids with food resources during the summer, I think first of all, always look to food banks and feel free to reach out to your local food bank, because whether or not they're a sponsor, food banks often have their own programs that also run during the summer that you might be able to connect with. So I first want to talk about food banks as sponsors and kind of what that looks like, and then talk a little bit about what other types of programs that that food banks run and some specific to the summer. So first of all, as Melissa had mentioned earlier, private nonprofits can serve as sponsors, and so several food banks across California do serve as sponsors and have several sites under them. So if you are looking to be a site, then definitely I think there's a whole plethora of ways for you to connect with different sponsors through this call, but do know that often food banks are the sponsors that you can connect with in your area. And I just wanted to give you an example of one food bank, which a lot of folks know is a pretty a great model of a sponsor of the program in California, and that's the Redwood Empire Food Bank. And that food bank is in Sonoma County. And they have been a sponsor for several years now, and they do a wonderful job of not only providing the food resource needed as a sponsor, but the actual enrichment activities that go with it. And one thing that comes to mind when I think of their program is that they actually do a kickoff every summer of the whole summer program, and the one great thing that they do is called the Bicycle Rodeo, where it's this whole event where kids come and they learn to ride bikes, they get free helmets, and they get these bike licenses at the end of the day where they have license to ride their bike, and it's just such a great example of how the food bank has kind of moved beyond just thinking of themselves as a distributor of food and just a summer site, but also in this greater enrichment activity, and to really, they use it at the beginning of the summer to really promote the sites that they have and to bring people in to participate in the summer food program. So I think they're a great example of a very successful sponsor, and there are other food banks that serve as sponsors that you can connect with throughout the state. As far as food banks, other kind of activities that food banks conduct during the summer, I think that it's always, food banks are always looking for an infrastructure that's in place to connect with where they can come out and distribute different types of food, whether it's actual different canned or dried goods are also, in California, a great deal of fresh produce. So some of the things that you should definitely look into as far as collaborating with a food bank, regardless of whether they're going to be a sponsor for you as a site or just, you know, in any other way that you might think of collaborating, talk to a food bank because they're always looking for connections. And some of the things that they can connect you with, or some of the things that food banks do, I should say, is food banks – often, several food banks have what's called a kids cafe during the entire year, and those are basically feeding programs, soup kitchen-like programs, congregate-type programs targeted specifically for young people, and those become especially important, as we all know, during the summertime. Other programs that you might want to think about collaborating with food banks on are many food banks do what's called a backpack program. And that is where they actually put together a backpack or something like a backpack where children can take a backpack of food home with them. And then they have several days of food for the children that they get to take home. And for some food banks, the big model for this is usually food banks do that during the school year time where a kid will go home on Friday with a backpack. But a lot of food banks are looking at models for how to do that during summertime, too. So if this is something that you'd be interested in, I think it would be a great question to ask of the food bank and to see if there's a collaboration where they could they can extend their backpack program into the summertime and partner with you on that. And then the final thing is that many food banks, because of the bounty of fresh produce that that we have in California, are doing some sort of farmers market program. Some of them have their own farmers markets that they create, and also a lot of them have mobile farmers markets where they will bring the produce to different sites. So, you know, as kids are finishing up their meal, there might be a mobile truck there with a bag of produce that they get to take as they leave, they and their families. So there's a myriad of opportunities from food banks actually being the sponsor that you can connect with formally, or being a resource to you and building a partnership together in all different sorts of capacities.
Great. Excellent. Thank you, Eric. At this point, does anybody on the call have any questions? Remembering that if you did mute your line, you'll need to press *6 to unmute your line in order to ask questions. I know we've heard a lot of information so far.
This is Barbara Warner from Spring Valley. I'm wondering how we know what other sites are in our area undertaking this so that we don't duplicate efforts.
Now, Barbara, are you a sponsor or are you looking to become a site?
We would probably become a site.
Well, there is a terrific website, or I should say there's a terrific component of the Nutrition Services Division website for the State Department of Education that includes all the site locations that were in operation last year. And Melissa, who we heard from a little earlier on the call, updates that as soon as those sites are confirmed for operation in 2009 or declined to continue or new ones are added. So Melissa will give that link to Jeff, who will post it on the webpage, and that's the easiest way to go through. It's organized by county, and you'll see simply everywhere that the program operated last year and where we anticipate it'll continue operating this year.
Excellent. Thank you.
A great question, though. If you have a site two blocks away, you may not want to duplicate those efforts.
And we certainly want to know about them.
Yep. Great. So far what we've heard, once again, just to sort of summarize where we've been, that you can either become a sponsor, a school, a private nonprofit, or government agency, or you can become a site. That for this summer, it may be the easiest thing to become a site, and that in order to do that, you can link up with a school district, a city, a food bank, or other sponsors, and that you can also link in with food banks for other programs, other summer food programs, such as the Kids Cafe and or the Backpack Program and the Farmers Market Programs. What we'd like to hear from now is hear from Richard Lincoln and Candace Sinetto, who are running, as Matt Sharp pointed out, one of the larger summer food programs up in Sacramento. I'd just like to turn it over to Richard and Candace.
Good afternoon. I think what we'll do is I'll give a brief overview from my position on some of the successes we've had with our relationships with the vendors, and then I'll have Candace talk a little bit about what it looks like on the day-to-day operations in the field. We fluctuate slightly from year to year, but on average we're serving about 125 different sites throughout Greater Sacramento here, and the key to our success is the relationships that we have with the local school districts and the Boys and Girls Clubs here to be the vendors for this program. Candace can correct me if I'm wrong, but the only locations we've ever had to turn away that I can think of are those that are, you know, more than 35 miles away from where our vendors deliver to. So usually if someone calls and is interested in being in the program and they qualify, we are able to connect them up with a vendor that can get them their lunch meals, their snacks, their breakfasts, whatever their needs are for whatever their numbers are. And, you know, we feel like over the time and also being in Sacramento and being able to work so closely with the state, we've been refining our program and getting better and better and more efficient at it. And that includes products, that includes the efficiencies with the districts. We've entered into a program where we send staff back and forth, being hired by the agencies to guarantee that the workforce is there to deliver the products. We've even in some situations provided vehicles to make sure that the meals can be delivered because of the resources we have as a city. So I think the key for us has been our flexibility and our overall ability to reach out within the city of Sacramento and use the resources that are presented there to make this successful for the families and the children that participate in this program. I'd really like to open it up to questions, but before I do, I'm going to have Candace talk a little bit about the day-to-day stuff that happens with our sites and some of the reasons why she feels we are also successful and able to expand the way we have and maintain our numbers. Because we don't get the same 125 sites every year, as you can imagine, as programs change or parks are closing, particularly in these budget times, et cetera. So I'm going to let Candace talk a little bit about that.
I think that, you know, we have a really good opportunity as the city of Sacramento because we have our connections with our community centers, our different, you know, children's services programs, after-school programs, things like that that we have. So we are able to, you know, put up flyers, posters, things like that. The day-to-day operations, like was spoken about before, you know, Melissa was saying there is, you know, a lot of monitoring, a lot of paperwork. But I think, as Richard mentioned earlier, you know, as you get more involved, you definitely, as years go by, you know, it does get easier. And I wouldn't say that it's a task that's too daunting for anyone to take on. It may seem like a lot, but, you know, if you are organized, I think that, you know, you can make it happen. And, you know, the kids are the most important. I think that, you know, the one thing allows us to continue to expand is if you run a good, efficient program, we get a lot of new apartment complexes, we get a lot of churches, you know, from word of mouth because of the area. We also take time to drive around areas here in Sacramento that we know are lower income that would qualify for the program and go and offer that to them because a lot of people don't know about it. So, you know, like, again, like I said, I think that it's just a really good opportunity. I think that anybody who is really interested in serving the kids would have the time and the resources to do it, you know, if you have the dedication to get those lunches out. And, again, you know, a lot of people still don't know about the program, so I think as much, you know, as you can put out through your cities and community services and things like that would also help. If there's any questions from anybody on the line, Richard and I are here to answer those.
Sounds like relationships are one of the most important things to being a successful sponsor.
Absolutely, because you have, you know, daily contact with really most of your sites, you know, really all of them, you know, you have to be there for any problems that occur, you know, any, you know, they need more ledges, less ledges, they have questions, you know, we're really just there to support the sites and make sure that they have all the information and all the resources that they need so that they can easily serve the children. So the communication really is the key.
And as an example, this last summer food program year, several districts went through a reorganization into one district that's now Twin Rivers Unified up here. And one of the smaller districts used to be a vendor, and they asked if they could take the year off so that they could focus on getting their new district straight. And so we leaned heavily on another school district and asked them to kind of go outside of their comfort zone in terms of the number of the sites they could support for just that 1 year, so that we could continue to serve all the children and families that needed this service. And one of the things they pushed back on us was, well, you know, we'd love to do it, we just don't have the vehicles. So that's one of the examples I mentioned before is, you know, we went down to our courtyard and we got the vans, provided drivers, they put the food out, and for the year we were able to continue our services. And if we had not had an existing relationship and a healthy relationship with that district, we would have had much larger challenges. And so the relationship piece is really key at my level, at Candace's level, but also in the field with the people who are volunteering and or working for programs delivering the product, and how they deal with the monitors that are out there ensuring that every site is meeting compliance for the state.
Richard, this is Melissa.
Hi, Melissa.
Hi. the sites that have the highest attendance, what are they doing to track the children? You know?
When you say track the children, do you mean participate in the program or?
Yeah. You know, are they doing anything special like fun activities? You know, what are they doing to be a magnet for the children?
Yeah, most of the sites, we have quite a few, that have a large attendance, and they are already offering like a summer day camp that's free to the kids of the community. They're offering, different sporting activities, recreations, crafts, even no-cost field trips. And there are these programs where the children can go to for several hours a day, and they just don't have, you know, the funds available to give out any food for the children. And that's where they get the large numbers, is because the children were already in attendance.
Okay.
A lot of the programs that are the small to medium attendance programs are not necessarily associated with as long of a day program or a day program at all. Some of the apartment complexes have the volunteers that just want to have the opportunity to provide the nutritious meal and snack to the children that are there. And some of those are ran through partnerships with other agencies that oversee those complexes, oversee the programs to bring the resources to those complexes. But by far, the largest programs we serve are city-run community centers that have activities going on, or other community-based programs that have grant funds that have the ability to provide the activities and are that magnet, but don't necessarily have the budget to stretch to include the nutritious meals and snacks. So that definitely is a good magnet for the programs. And they tend to be at, you know, very large community hubs, mm-hmm. that make it easy to advertise and easy to draw the participants in and have the space to accommodate, you know, 150 to 200 to 250 kids.
Thank you.
Any other questions at this point in time? Excellent. Well, we have a few more things that we'd like to cover with the call, but definitely want to reiterate that if you are interested in learning how to link to a sponsor, or if you are interested in becoming a site, I should say, go to www.afterschoolnetwork.org/node/7389, afterschoolnetwork.org/node/7389, and there's a link that you can click on that website that you can fill in your information, and we'll utilize that information to match you to an appropriate site. Crystal, would you mind sharing with us the other resources that they might find on that website?
Oh, sure. Well, we passed a number of things on to the California After School Network, and some of the things that are posted on the website are, you know, just a basic fact sheet about the summer food program, so you can get more of a grounding on that. And then we also, a couple of years ago, did a guide for ACES grantees to all the nutrition programs after school and summer. And there's a link to that on the website as well. There's a one-pager on what it really means to become a summer food site. And then there's some basic information about the California Community Child Nutrition Pilot Project, because you guys are lucky enough to be included in a year-round summer food pilot. So summer food sponsors can decide to feed kids year-round, and they can provide a snack after school. Like Jeff has been saying, really one of the easiest ways is to come into the program as a site, and it really gives you a good introduction to the summer food program without as much administrative work, which is why we put together that link, so that you should definitely go ahead and enter your information and encourage any of the other summer programs that you work with to enter that information, and we'll try and help link you to a summer food sponsor in your community who's willing to serve you. So those are kind of the resources that are up on the website, and I'm just impressed with all the people who were on the call and the depth of knowledge that's there, and so who are willing to stand by and help people get attached to the summer food program, which I think is going to be really important this summer as families continue to struggle under the current recession.
Excellent. I thought that maybe what we could do is Melissa and Rona, maybe what you could do is just tell folks that maybe they become a site this year, but if they were interested in to becoming a sponsor in the future, what might they do?
Well, they want to make sure that they call us to find out if they've identified a site. Let us help them determine the best way to qualify it. They need to call us so we can get them on our mailing list, our email list, and so we can help them out with training and getting them training supplies, everything that they're going to need to operate successfully. But basically calling us to making that first call.
Great.
And here's the phone number that you can have. It's 1-800-952-5609.
Perfect. Perfect.
Can you repeat that, please?
800-952-5609.
Thank you.
Perfect. And then I'm wondering if during the school year, if folks were able to, if folks wanted to provide snacks in their after-school programs, what are the other resources that folks have in order to provide after-school snacks?
Okay. At this time, there are, three after-school snack programs in California. If you're a school district or you're on the premises of a school district, through the National School Lunch Program, there is the After School Meals Program, which is a snack program and operated by the school district. If it's a enrolled site, the nonprofit organization could qualify to be in the child care after school snack program. There are two types of child care, a child and adult care food program, child care component after school snacks. One is for what we call outside school hours programs, where they can provide a snack and a supper during the school year. When school is in session and when school is not in session, the outside school hours program can provide up to two meals and a snack, or two snacks and a meal each day that school is in session, and that includes Saturdays and Sundays. Through the summer food service program, we have the Community Child Nutrition
Snack Project.
Snack Project. It's a long name, which is a after-school snack pilot program for California. We're a nonprofit and community-based organizations, including government non-school organizations, can provide an after-school snack at any location that is area, what we call area eligible. And that is, they become a summer food service sponsor. However, they're on just our snack program.
Excellent. Thanks for that information. And to be involved with that, would I also call the same number, 1-800-952-5609?
Yes, that is the main number to all to access any of the child nutrition programs.
Perfect. Thank you very much. I also want to let folks know that the California After School Network maintains a Nutrition and Physical Activity Committee. And Crystal has been gracious enough to come join us at a number of those meetings to let us know about summer food programs and different opportunities for food programs. Deborah Temanayi, who's also on this call, who works for the CDE in the realm of nutrition, is also a member of that committee. And it's a real rich conversation when we get together on that committee. So I encourage you to join and find out more about this as this continues. And if you'd like to do that, you can go to the After School Network website, afterschoolnetwork.org, and you can click on Join a Committee if you want to hear more about this. And then once again, you can also go to afterschoolnetwork.org/node/7389 to get all the information from this call, as well as sign up to become a site or get matched with a sponsor. But at this point in time, just want to open it up to any other questions or comments that folks would have. Remember, also, you may need to press *6 to unmute your line.
I have a question. So in order for me to find out if our area has a sponsor, we'd have to log on to the After School Network site?
Right. So if you go to the After School Network site, afterschoolnetwork.org/node/7389,
right.
you can click on a link there. You just type in your name, your organization, and some details. And then that's going to go directly to a lot of the folks that are on this call currently. So then we're actually going to work to match you with a sponsor. So what it won't do is show you the sponsor in your area, but what it will do is allow you to enter in some information to become matched with a sponsor.
Okay.
And you can also call any one of the summer food specialists to through the 800 number to get a list of sponsors in your county.
Okay.
That number once again, 1-800-952-5609.
Yes.
Great. Any other questions? Going twice. And closed. Well, I want to let everybody know that this call, the recording of this call and all the information presented is going to be posted along with all the resources for this call at that website, afterschoolnetwork.org/node/7389. So we hope that you'll pass that along to folks that weren't able to be on the call. I want to thank all of our speakers today, Melissa Garza and Rana Jacobitz from the CDE Community Nutrition Program, Tim Toll from the Food Nutrition Services Unit at the USDA, Eric Mankey at the California Association of Food Banks, Crystal Fitzsimons from the Food Research and Action Center, Matt Sharp from the California Food Policy Advocates, Richard Lincoln and Candice Sinetto from Sacramento 4th R and Sacramento Summer Food Programs, as well as Deborah Temanai from Education and Nutrition Policy Unit at CDE. And I want to thank everyone for joining us, and keep up the good work out there, and hopefully we can all work together to get the kids fed this summer.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you all for joining us.